Anybody need a recess? I hear Mr. Hutt can be long-winded. Next case.
Case number 12834, True R2 LLC and Newton Farms LLC seeks a special use exception to operate a potentially hazardous use feed and grain mill, sections 115-111 and 115-210 of the Sussex County zoning code. The properties are located on the southwest side of Sussex Highway at the corner of East Newton Road. The 911 address, Sussex Highway and East Newton Road in Bridgeville. The zoning district is HI1. Tax parcel is District 530, map 16, parcel 11, and parcel 12. We have 4 letters of support, 0 letters of opposition, and 1 mail return.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Let me swear in your witness, Mr. Hutt.
Sir.
Please state your name and address for the record, please.
Scott Thompson, 25539, Hunter Crossing, Middlesboro.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Good evening. For the record, my name is David Hutt. Apparently, my reputation precedes me. Local attorney here in Georgetown. This evening, I am representing the applicant, KKR Farming Company, LLC. As you're about to maybe see on the screen, the slides. Is a subsidiary of Mount Air Farms. The gentleman who was just sworn in a moment ago is Scott Thompson, as you heard, the Vice President of Operations and Services. Also with us tonight is Philip Pilar, the President of Mount Air, Jerry White Sr., the Director of Live Operations, Tanya Rogers Vickers, the Director of Environmental Services, and Zach Evans, the Community Relations Manager. So hopefully there are any questions that I cannot answer this evening, and one of them will be able to help us. The location of the property, likely needs no introduction, as it is located at the intersection of Route 113, which heads from top to bottom of the screen, and heading left to right from 113 is 404, also known as East Newton Road. Of course, the road names may not be why it's familiar to everyone. The most likely reason is because it's the intersection where most people turn left when going from Sussex County to the Bay Bridge and areas outside of the peninsula. As was just introduced by Ms. Norwood a moment ago, this evening's application is for a special use exception seeking to...
I think that was on.
Seeking
to authorize a feed and grain milling use on this property pursuant to section 111 and 210 of chapter 115 of the Sussex County code. As the board knows from prior applications, there are two characteristics of a property which bring us here this evening under those two code sections. The first is, of course, that a property would have to be zoned HI1, which is the county's heavy industrial zoning classification. And the second is that the proposed use of the property has to appear on the list of special hazardous uses that's found in section 111 of the code. And if you were to look at section 111 of the code about halfway down in that section, you would see the phrase flour, feed, and grain milling. And as was indicated, tonight's application is for a feed mill that will produce 30,000 tons per week of feed. As you can see on the screen, although it's a little deceptive, if you can go back a slide, thank you. This is actually two tax parcels that comprise approximately 167 acres. The bottom two are one parcel, and then there's the parcel to the north of that. The parcel at the bottom is bisected by a road leading to the Del Dot maintenance yard. These properties were the subject of a recent change of zone application, change of zone number 2003, which was approved by County Council as Ordinance 2917 on March 28th. The ordinance changed the designation of these properties on the county's zoning map from AR1 Agricultural Residential District to HI1 Heavy Industrial District. A copy of Ordinance 2917 was included in the project book materials that I see many of you have sitting in front of you this evening. That's at tab 2, and that sets forth County Council's reasoning for approving this change of zone application to HI1. I wanted to quickly review several of those reasons because they also help answer the question that's in front of the board this evening. As you know, the question in front of the board this evening is whether the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare will be properly protected, and that necessary safeguards will be provided for the protection of water areas or surrounding property and persons. As the board is very familiar with, agribusiness is an important part of Sussex County, particularly through agricultural uses and forestry. They are some of the dominant forces outside of tourism on the eastern side of the state, in Sussex County. This evening's application is one that supports agribusiness at a number of levels, from providing farmers with another location for their grain, to, of course, providing poultry growers with a source of feed for their poultry. For the decision to be made by the board tonight, you will see that the proposed feed mill use location makes sense due to a number of factors, and that those factors point to this being the right location. And you'll also certainly recognize that this being the location of a feed mill is not a thought that's unique to or originates from myself or my client. We trust that as you reviewed the project book materials as well as the application and listen to this presentation, that you will agree that a special use exception for a grain or milling operation in this location is appropriate and tracks with the county's guidance that you find in its zoning code, its comprehensive plan, and the other tools, land use planning tools that the county has at its disposal, as well as the surrounding uses that already exist at the location. For anyone who is not readily familiar with the site, and for the record, wanted to quickly note the borders of the property. On the eastern side of the property, you of course have Route 113 that tracks from north to south. The property's southern boundary is Delaware Route 404 or East Newton Road. The property's western boundary is the Delmarva Central Railroad and the Deldop Bridgeville Maintenance Yard that I referenced a moment ago. And the property's northern boundary, as you can see, it's the most jagged edge of the property, is the Polk Branch and Grubby Neck Branch. With that quick tour of the boundaries of the property, you'll quickly recognize that three of the four boundaries have significant transportation methodologies on them. Obviously, Route 113 and 404, you would quickly recognize as major highways. The Sussex County Code refers to them as major arterial roadways, and DLDOT itself refers to them as principal arterials. The third or western boundary of the property is the railway, and this was certainly one of the key reasons why this site was chosen for the proposed use this evening. As noted in County Council's approval at tab 2, you will see that there was a letter of support from the Delmarva Central Railroad Company wholeheartedly endorsing this use at the location adjacent to its railway. Consistent with the readily available transportation methodologies to the site, the state strategies maps that are promulgated by the Office of State Planning Coordination show this area as being within level level 2 and level 3 areas. As you can see, where the cursor is located is a level 2 area. Level 2 areas are areas where the state of Delaware anticipates growth in the near term, and it goes on when you just read through what the Office of State Planning Coordination promulgates, that these are areas where state investments and policies should support and encourage a wide range of uses. It goes on to state that a level 2 area are areas that are a priority for job creation and retention. Of course, all of those are things that will result as if the Board of Adjustment acts favorably on this evening's special use exception request. Similarly to the future, or the state strategies map is the county's future land use map. As you can see on the screens around the room, the areas that have no coloring or shading are the low density or rural agricultural areas of county. And then you can see the purple color where this property is located is the industrial area on the future land use map. And you can see that not only is this property designated as being in an industrial area, but the properties to the west and some of the properties to the south are as well. Immediately across the street, the tan or beige color are developing areas, and all of those are growth areas on the county's future land use map. And this application is certainly consistent with an industrial designation on the county's future land use map. And the county's future or comprehensive plan, rather, has a number of chapters, and these are referenced within the decision that was issued by county council. But I wanted to highlight them, a couple of them, as they speak to the question as to the general welfare that the board is being asked to answer this evening. In chapter 4 of the comprehensive land use plan, which is the future land use chapter, the industrial area is described as being comprised of lands devoted to concentrations of larger industrial uses, including heavier industry, light industry, warehousing, and flex space. And it goes on to state that large, more intensive standalone industrial uses should also be directed to these areas, which are the purple areas on the screens around the room. Chapter 4 also talks about one of the themes for all of the future land use map, and as well as the comprehensive plan that you would find. And it talks about that the purpose of much of the future land use map is to promote farming and preserve agricultural land values and agribusiness, which of course all would occur with the approval of this special use exception request. The economic development chapter, chapter 9 of the comprehensive plan, talks in goal 9.3 that part of the economic development of Sussex County is to preserve and encourage the expansion of the agricultural industry, forestry industry, and other similar industries in the county. This application also touches on the mobility element of the comprehensive plan. Chapter 13 talks about exploring incentives for businesses to switch from truck to rail freight, which can reduce freight costs and road traffic congestion. And it encourages working with railroad partners to aid in their strategic planning efforts to help identify potential rail customers. As I indicated, it's one of the reasons that this site was chosen for this use. And again, those all speak to the general welfare of the county and how it is benefited by this evening's application. The zoning map, which is now on the screens around the room, shows that this area contains a mixture of industrial sites. The dark gray that you see highlighted in yellow is, of course, this site, which was the subject of the recent rezoning to HI1 heavy industrial. Below that, you see a lighter shade of gray, which is light industrial. And in fact, the parcel immediately to the south of this on the opposite side of 404 was part of a change of zone request in 2020, a change of zone 1919. And actually, the same property owner as owns the property we're here on for tonight sought a rezoning of that 23.7 acres from the county's C1 designation to LI2. And of course, the first 8 acres, for those of you who have traveled any that way recently, you know that the first 8 acres is already under construction as the new home of Miller Metal Fabrication. Looking at the zoning map, if we can stay there for a moment, the bright red across the street from this property, you'll recognize as the county's C1 general commercial zoning district. On the next image, we have this is aerial imagery from 2022, of course, showing the site at the same location on the screens, and shows the rural nature of this area in general. In the upper left-hand corner, you will see the Woodbridge High School campus, which has an agricultural program, and we'll discuss a letter from that agricultural program at the end of my presentation. Across the street from the site, there is the Insight Homes buildings has a location, as well as AC Schultz. What I wanted to focus on, though, more was what's directly across the street. You can see it on the opposite side of Route 404 or East Newton Road. and that's the southern portion of that roadway. If we start right at Route 113, you of course have the familiar landmark of O.A. Newton and Son Farm Ranch Hardware and Irrigation. As you travel west on 404, you have the Lindenmere store, and then of course the Miller Metals fabrication site that's presently under construction. If you turn down Emma Jane Lane, the first business is the News Print Shop, and these are some of these are highlighted and identified on the screen. Then you have the Old Dominion Freight Line. On the right-hand side, there is a solar panel field, and then at the end of that road is Eastern Shore Natural Gas Compressor Station system. Across the railroad tracks, when you're on the southern side of Route 404, is the Purdue Feed Mill and Granary. And pictures of all of those uses that I just described were included in the project book that was submitted as part of this application. While there are no outdoor activities or outdoor storage of items, that often makes a person think that this would be qualify at least as a light industrial use, as typically when you move from light industrial to heavy industrial uses, it's because there is outside storage and outside manufacturing that occurs. However, the only industrial zoning district in the Sussex County Code that even mentions milling is the HI1 district, which specifically describes feed mills and describes them, as I indicated earlier, as a potentially hazardous use when you look at the list in section 115-111. As was referenced, that zoning classification was approved in March by County Council. And the zoning code states the purpose of the HI1 heavy industrial district as being to provide for a variety of industrial operations, to preserve the land in the district for industrial use, and to exclude new residential or commercial development except for certain specified uses deemed appropriate adjuncts to industrial operations. And I read that purpose because it talks about the exclusion of new residential or commercial development, and part of the special use exception we're here for tonight is for the board to consider the impact on persons and property that are adjacent to this site. And that's one of the reasons why the rezoning was sought, because that excludes new residential uses from coming. And the quick tour of the surrounding properties that we just went through showed that their uses are not residential uses, but they are commercial uses and industrial uses. There are not a lot of residential use in this area, which again makes this an appropriate location for this. The specific proposed use of the site, as was indicated, is a feed mill operation. For my benefit, I asked Mount Air to provide a simple schematic showing the operation of the proposed feed mill, and they distilled it down to five steps for me with graphics that I could understand. And those five steps, you can obviously see that ingredients are brought in, both, of course, over the highway, but also at this site that would include rail. Second, those ingredients are blended into the right recipe for the poultry. Then, once that occurs, they are made into pellets. Those pellets are then stored on the site in feed bins, and then, of course, ultimately, it's loaded onto trucks and taken out to the various poultry farmers who will use it. Tonight, the board is being asked about the milling process that's on the screen around the rooms in front of you, and whether that process on this property can be, whether the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare can be properly protected if this operation occurs on the property, and then specifically whether there's any other safeguards that would be necessary to provide protection to water areas or surrounding property and persons. I wanted to first address the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. As the board knows, these types of considerations, you're often looking at what many people consider to be general nuisance factors, things like noise, vibrations, odors, smoke, toxic gases, and other pollutants. And those are simply things that are not associated with a milling operation. Those are the types of items that the public would generally be concerned with, of course, if you live nearby that type of place. And when you look at the list of permitted things in section 115-11, you can understand those concerns. Some of those lists Those, some of those items include things like foundries, fish curing plants, incinerators, and of course there's a much longer list, but those would all have those types of nuisance factors that I just described. The one nuisance type factor that is involved in milling is dust, but as noted earlier, there's no outside storage here and there's no outside production of material, and so that is more of an internal concern and not one for the general public at large, or one not one that typically would impact the general public's health or safety. It's one more of internal plant or facility safety itself. The second part of the board's consideration is what protections might be necessary for the protection of the surrounding properties and persons, including water areas. And of course, as I indicated a moment ago, there are not pollutants and that type of thing that are generated by this milling operation. And so there are no additional protections or safeguards that are necessary in that respect. But going beyond that, and this was part of the application itself that was filed with the Planning and Zoning Office, is that if this application is to move forward and the site's to be constructed as is being proposed, there are already a number of departments within the county as well as agencies that will have to continue the review of this to make sure that it is properly constructed. A very quick and short list of those, as there are more, is the Planning and Zoning Commission itself will review the site plan. The Building Code Department will review the plans. The Sussex County or the Sussex Conservation District will, of course, review the plans for stormwater management concerns. The State Fire Marshal will review the plans for two different reasons. One, to make sure that the site plan is appropriate in the event of an emergency, but also, of course, the State Fire Marshal will be looking at the building plans. The plans will be reviewed by DENREC, the Delaware Health Department. DLDOT will be discussing the entrance to the site, and the FAA would evaluate the site as well. Again, there are other agencies and departments that would be looking at this, but that's just a summary or a highlight of several of those. And the applicant would argue that those provide sufficient safeguards to make sure that surrounding persons and properties are protected.
Could I interrupt you just briefly? Why the FAA?
The height of the...
Oh, the height. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. Understood. Thanks.
Mr. Corman should have answered that question for
well,
us.
Well, I was writing it down here in my notes. How tall will it be while we're there?
So right now it's concept. We'll stay below wherever we need to be. I mean, we don't have the height yet, but certainly that's why we've got the FAA to... we'll be below it.
Understand. Or it'll be lit. It'll be lit, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Wells' tanks up here, they're 200 feet, I believe, but they're lit well. So, anyway, as you were saying. Also, this used to be a site of an airstrip. You didn't include that in tab 13. But anyway,
Mr. Ryder will address that. on the screens around the room is the site plan for the proposed mill. As Mr. Thompson just indicated, this is conceptual, but as you can see, you have the location of the mill itself, and then you can see that there's a spur that comes off of the railroad and creates some storage for the rail cars and loops around the site. The red line that you see is there is consideration between DLDOT and the property owner and Mount Air regarding changing how DLDOT accesses the Bridgeville maintenance yard so that perhaps there's no conflict between the rail spur and the maintenance yard. As you likely know, Mount Air has facilities beyond the Delmarva Peninsula, and in fact, it has facilities very similar to what is being proposed here this evening at other locations. One of those is the feed mill in Scotland County, North Carolina. And that is very similar to what is being proposed this evening. As you can see on the screens around the room, Mount Air won the 2022 Integrator Feed Facility of the Year from the American Feed Industry Association for that facility. Again, if we can go to the next image. As you can see, that's actually a Google Earth image of that site in North Carolina. And you can see that that's a very similar arrangement as to what's being proposed just north of Bridgeville. If you go to the next slide. And this slide, again, slide just shows the use of the rail, the storage of the rail cars. The next slide. Again, just you can see the mill in the background and the train in front of it. The next slide. A broader spectrum view of the same thing. And the next slide. This is the site in North Carolina that we were just showing a picture of. And if we can go to the very next picture. This is the facility that exists on the south side of Route 404 presently. And if we can go toggle back and forth between those pictures, you will see that they are very similar in design. And we did that, as you may recall, at the beginning of our presentation, I said that the idea that this location is a good location for this use was not unique to me or to my client. And that's because, as the picture of the existing feed mill indicates, it's apparently an appropriate use in this area, as demonstrated by the many years that there has been a feed mill just on the opposite side of Route 404. As I conclude my presentation, I did want to address the letters of support that were referenced by Ms. Norwood when she introduced the application. There is a letter of support from Senator David Wilson, from Representative Jesse Vanderwen, the Delmarva Chicken Association, as well as the Woodbridge School District, from its agri-science departments. The agri-science department sent a letter from Ms. Karen Breeding regarding how it partners with Mount Air, and this would certainly have been meaningful to Dr. Carson as well, were he here tonight. But this goes to show not only, you know, the argument this evening that's being presented is that there is not an impact on public health, safety, morals, or general welfare, or a negative impact, rather. And the letter, if you've had a chance to read it, would demonstrate that there's actually a positive impact on those things. And very quickly, I wanted to read from a section of that letter. Ms. Breeding indicates that Mount Air has been a tremendous partner for the Woodbridge Animal Science Program of Study, as well as the Woodbridge FFA chapter. Their morals and values in the areas of professionalism, business ethics, and serving their community make them great mentors for the students and members of the Woodbridge school community. In addition to being a major employer, Mount Air helps dozens of small businesses thrive, including independent contract growers who rely on income from the poultry companies. Additionally, the construction of a feed mill will provide a local site for the work-based learning opportunities for students who are enrolled in a Delaware Pathways program of study. Schools continue to face the challenge of educating students not only on the basic curriculum of reading, writing, and math, but also teaching career skills. As we look at how to meet the challenge of educating students who need career training, we rely on industry partners such as Mount Air to help instruct and demonstrate the skills employers desire. Mount Air is an exceptional partner in educating and enforcing the importance of being responsible, respectful, prideful, and diligent in the workforce. They have been a gold medal example for our students in terms of current career skills, safety, technology, and development. Our students are better equipped for quality careers when partnered with companies like Mount Air. And again, that's from the Agri-Science Department at the Woodbridge School District. As you may recall, that was just to the left of this site, and we were looking at the area in which this is proposed to be located. In concluding summary, my client requests approval of the special use exception for a potentially hazardous use of a feed mill for the following reasons. First, the applicant has a track record of properly running facilities and benefiting the public, as you just heard. Second, the location is appropriate for the reasons set forth in County Council's adoption of Ordinance 2917, and I don't want to have to repeat those, so those are already within that ordinance. Third, a number of agencies, whether they're state agencies or departments within Sussex County, will continue to review numerous facets of this project should it be approved and be constructed, and we listed those earlier. Fourth, the proposed feed mill is one of the least intensive uses found in that list of potentially hazardous uses in Section 115-111. And last but certainly not least is this use, as you can see on the screens around the room right now, already exists in the immediate area. You can go to the last slide that I'm going to show tonight. I heard the sigh of relief when I said that too. Even though, as I mentioned a moment ago, this feed mill is one of the least intensive uses that's found in Section 115-111 of the county code, its impact, if approved and constructed, will be very significant to Sussex County and have a great economic influence on the county for a positive benefit. You can see on the screens right now that the feed mill project will produce 30,000 tons of feed every week, that there will be a million bushel storage capacity, and it goes on from there. There's a capacity, as the conceptual site plan is, to hold 100 rail cars. Up to 500 jobs will be created during the construction of this. And of course, you can see in the bottom right-hand corner the people that are impacted, and I referenced those at the beginning, from farmers who supply grains to the facility, to small businesses that work through the facility and with the facility, whether it's, you know, mechanics or any of those types, just a number of industries that are touched by this. And then, of course, obviously the growers themselves who would receive the feed mill products. I'm going to ask Mr. Thompson if he could join me here for a moment. You already introduced when you were sworn in, but what is your position with Mount Air?
I'm the Vice President of Operations Services.
You heard the presentation that I made this evening. Was everything that was stated true and correct to the best of your knowledge, information, and belief?
Yes, it was.
And do you adopt my statements as those of KAR Farming Company, LLC?
Yes, I do.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add for the members of the board?
I do not.
That concludes our presentation. We're happy to answer any questions for myself or any of the other folks from Mount Air who are here.
Questions?
I see the where it's marked proposed alternate access road. Is where's the proposed primary entrance to this facility?
So at this point, conceptually, we've not gone that far yet, okay? It'll be whatever DLDOT will allow us to do.
Okay.
So, you know, that's really where we're at. It's concept at this point. Okay. We'll do whatever is necessary for DLDOT.
Okay.
The most likely location will be off of 404, not one,
right.
not 13.
Right. All the property in the middle of this big circular railroad track, what will that be used for?
At this point, nothing, because it is inside the track. But we are looking at a concept that potentially we would move the feed mill inside that. Again, it's concept, so we've not completely decided where that will actually sit. But we could potentially do an office building or something inside there.
Okay.
And if it's none of those things, will it be used for agricultural purposes?
Yes, potentially.
Or would it possibly just grow up like the other facility you showed pictures of? I think it was like forest kind of starting to grow up there.
No, we wouldn't let that happen.
You wouldn't let that happen?
No,
okay.
Certainly not.
I know at another facility in Seaford, it's farmed inside the railroad tracks.
Yeah, certainly we have to keep that
circle there. So it'll be kept.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
Thought I had another question, but it slipped my mind, so I'm done.
Mr. Williamson?
When we run into these things, sometimes concerns come up about traffic. You said it would probably be proposed on 404. How do you foresee this affecting traffic? Has there been, I read something in here about at those.
Correct.
So, for the record, an approximation of how that.
Certainly. What you saw in the project book materials was that as part of the change of zone application, a service level evaluation request was filed with DLDOT, and DLDOT responded to that service level evaluation request and indicated in its response that based upon what was currently known of the conceptual plan, and they were shared, this plan is what was shared with DLDOT at that time, that it was anticipated that it would have a minor impact on local area roadways. And what that means under Sussex County's understanding, or rather memorandum of understanding with DLDOT, a minor impact is less than 200 vehicle trips in any peak hour and less than 2,000 vehicle trips per day. And what that ultimately means is that If you're more than that, you're a major impact, and then the county typically requires a traffic impact study. Because this is a minor impact, the county does not have to require a traffic impact study, and instead, an applicant can pay what's called an area-wide study fee. They still have to complete entrance improvements, and there may be other off-site improvements they have to contribute to. But I think the answer, the short answer to your question is that it has a, DLDOT determined that it would have a minor impact on the local roadways.
Thank you.
I'm just thinking that your Millsboro facility is almost, with the beach traffic and big trucks, it just doesn't work anymore.
You could say that.
Yeah.
It makes it tough.
Yeah. I was sitting here thinking that while I was looking at it. Yeah. Mr. Sharp?
What are the hours of operation you're looking at? Is this a 24/7 or is this shift? Yeah, how are you?
There would be operations there 24/7, but mainly the production side of things would be 5.5 to 6 days at the most. Let me see.
How many employees are you going to have on site? How many employees?
Jerry, what do you think? 84 that we had one. About 84.
Wow, that's a pretty specific number.
We got to be pretty specific when we put a project like this together.
Now, I know you had said this is a conceptual concept at this point. It sounds like there's other agency approvals that you have to get.
We got to have them all.
How long a process is it before you think this thing is going to be used in this fashion? If the board were to approve this and you get all the approvals?
You know, it's hard to predict going through all the those whistles and the hoops that we got to go through, but we anticipate hopefully we have building permits in a year and we would start. That's just to the best of our ability at this point. Because again, it's concept. We've done some preliminary engineering. We're doing some preliminary engineering with DLDOT for that road access, but we've not done a complete site, so we got to do all that before we can really start.
I'm just curious.
And there have been a number of initial entitlement issues, including the zoning of the property, and then, of course, tonight's hearing, the special use exception. And that, should Mount Hare be successful, that really kicks things into high gear so that the engineering is not at-risk engineering, and they can go to hard engineering and start to push forward with all those agencies to obtain those approvals and even submitting, I mean, this is obviously preliminary, but submitting a final site plan to the planning and zoning staff get approval of that.
All right, I have no further questions. Thank you.
I did actually just remember the question. The dust that's internal inside the facility, how is that collected or what's done with it?
So there'll be dust collection systems within their dust. We've got to comply with all the dust hazard and what DNREC will only allow so much emissions. So we've got to capture that. In what we call bag houses, and okay. So it doesn't get emitted into the air. We got certain restrictions that we've got to meet, and it would be designed to be within those tolerances.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is anyone present who would? Is anyone present who would like to speak in favor of this case?
Rob Ryder, and
Good evening. Mr. Sharp, I'll swear you in.
Okay.
You said your name's Robert Ryder?
Yes.
And your address, please?
201 Pennsylvania Avenue, Seaford, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I'm going to be very brief. It's been a long evening. But I'm here representing the property owners as well as multiple neighboring properties. And we're in support of this. We've been working with Mount Air for a long time now, and as you know, part of our history is in this industry. So we are going to be a neighbor for them for a long time to come. So we support it, and we'd like to see it happen. And we're very confident that they can do it in a safe fashion. And yes, I do remember when it was a landing strip, and I was out there many times when Al Johnson landed his crop duster.
Al Johnson, that's right. It was never me, but yes.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Ryder, if I may, just, you'd mentioned you're a neighbor, or you own neighboring lands. What neighboring lands do you own? If we could pull up the tax map, perhaps you could show us, just
yep.
to clarify for the record.
So to the very south, at the corner of Newton Road, sorry, go the other way.
You could walk up if it's easier.
Yeah.
If you'd like to show us, so we can just articulate on the.
Starting here, this is our main business.
Oh, so at the corner of 13 yeah. and 404.
This belongs to Newton Farms, which is a family entity. We sold that to Miller Metal. That's the property that's now an industrial facility. These three properties are ours, the Purdue Truck Garage, Newsprint Shop, and Old Dominion Freight Company. We lease them to those. This property here, going all the way back to North Main Street, is also a family entity. And then we are, where are we here? And then we're all the way down there.
So on the southwest side
yeah.
of Adams Road?
Newton Farms, another family entity, Newton Farms. So.
All right, very good. Thank you.
Yeah. And the land has been, just another point is this property's been in the family for, I don't know, between 70 and 100 years. So we took it very, did not take the decision very lately to sell it.
Thanks. Would anyone else present like to speak in favor of this case? Is there anyone present who would like to speak in opposition to this case? Operator, is anyone on the line that would like to speak in reference to case number 12834 for TREWR2 LLC and Newton Farms LLC?
If there is anyone on the line who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. At this time, there are no pending comments.
Thank you. Anything else from the board? At this time, I'll close the public hearing for case number 12834 for TREWR2 LLC and Newton Farms LLC and entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 12834 for TREWR2 LLC and Newton Farms LLC for the requested special use exception pending a final written decision based upon the record made during the public hearing, because the proposed use will not substantially affect adversely the uses of neighboring and adjacent properties. Mr. Sharp, is there more that I need to add to that motion?
You would. It also that the, and I don't have the standard right in front of me.
Public health, safety,
public
morals,
health
et cetera.
Has been properly protected as required under section 115-111 of the county code.
Okay, that's my motion.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Mr. Williamson?
Aye for the reasons stated.
Mr. Warfel?
Aye for my reasons.
And aye too. So the vote of 3-0, your case is approved. Motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second.
Just a reminder, we are not back in 2 weeks, we're back in 3 weeks.
26th.
Because of Juneteenth. So.